And welcome to another edition of your Economic Forum entitled Money Matters. Your host, Mark Cuneverti, welcoming you to your community radio station. Please be advised that this show, discussions in this show, articles or news pieces, or even guests that I may have on the show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. I am an investment advisor representative through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Indices mentioned are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Investing involves risk depending on types of investments. There may be varying degrees of risk. Investors should be prepared to bear loss, including total loss of principal. How is everybody today? Today is show 290, entitled It's Hot in the Markets. The show is about money. Money doesn't matter, and matters money affects us all in some way or another, whether you have a lot of it, a little of it, or none of it. It controls our economy, our country, our planet, and in some way or another, controls the very way we live our lives. It's about your money, your lack of it, or abundance of it. It's about your life and livelihood. In short, money matters is about you. Yes, it is. So it's hot outside and in the markets. Or it has been, you know. So let's take a look at the markets overall, of those interested in such things. We talk about much more than the markets here. On Money Matters, we talk about investing in community, supporting the community around you, nonprofits, organizations, businesses, even politics. Occasionally, we talk about investing in your body, your mind, your house, your car. Investing covers so much more than just money. When you think about it, money is a very small part of your life. I mean, it's an important part, but you have your friends and your love and your spirituality, your health, your house, your pets, your job, your community, your social abilities, you know, your social people that you hang out with. And money is a very small part of your whole overall life. You do use it, of course, to get along and get through your life. But really, you know, if it wasn't for that, it wouldn't be very important to you, now, would it? I know a lot of things, you know, we care about when somebody's house burns down. They say, you know, I'm just glad anybody wasn't hurt. So it kind of puts money into the context. So the Dow, we talked about these major resistance levels and support levels. And we've been bouncing around between 25,000 and 26,000. Every show I come on, and we are in the mid-26,000s last couple of weeks, last couple of months. And I said, if you're in the mid-26,000s on the Dow, which is Dow 30, which is the largest looked at, not necessarily the largest index by market cap, but the largest looked at, the high had been 26,919, set quite a while ago, 7, 8, 9 months ago, I think, even more. And, of course, the low, when it first started, around zero or 100, started 100-something years ago. And so if we were in the mid-26,000s, 26,000, the even number, 26,000, was a support level. And 27,000 above it was a resistance level. And, indeed, we tried to punch through 27,000 a few times. And the Dow had even threatened to punch low below 26,000. So the big number below us is support. The higher number above wherever we are is resistance. And 27,000 was a major resistance level, according to technical analysts that look and believe in such things. They believe that certain markets, certain chart patterns, the way the market behaves, it has some predictable, repeatable historical patterns. Is that true? Well, it's an opinion of those that look at these things, the technocrats, right? The quants. Of course, remember, there's no way that you can tell which way the market's going to go. Nobody. No how, no why, nobody. Some people are better at it, but there's no sure way. And I put out an interesting article. I'm going to get into that in just a second. But right now, the Dow is sitting at 27,233. So it did assault successfully got out of the 26,000s through the major resistance level of 27,000, 27,000, and is now sitting at 27,244. So we got through 27,000. That being the case, if it's at 27,244, now we can look at 27,000 below us as a support level. So it's best if it holds it through a Friday. You know, if it holds it at the close of the day over 27,000, which it did, that's good. And then if it holds it over at the week, at the Friday, it's even better. The longer it holds it, the more support 27,000 becomes. So we are on it close to all-time highs. Congratulations to the Dow. 30. The Dow high actually, let's see what happened here. The Dow high was actually 27,263. Let's take a look at 5 days. Let's see, it's been higher. Yeah, the higher is what, July. It looks like July 16th at 27,381. Okay. And when did it punch through? Well, it punched through right around where? Right around, ooh. Well, it looks like it punched through on July 11th. It punched through 27 to get to 27,057, then dropped on July 11th to 27,000 even. Talk about a support level. And then closed on July 11th around 27,236, if I'm reading my chart right. So there you go. We're over 27,000, which is the reason the markets, I have entitled the show, It's Hot in the Markets. It's hot outside, but of course it's hot in the markets. So I wrote an article here. The people that watch me, actually listen to me, because this is a radio show, basically want to make sure that us advisors, you, if you're an advisor, any other advisor that writes in the newspaper or says anything to a certain amount of clients or more, or goes on the radio, we could never say, the market is going to do this, okay? The market is going to go to 29,000. We can't say that, okay? Because nobody knows, okay? So you can't say the market is going to do this or is going to do that, okay? You can say it's going to close at 1 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, but you can't say where it's going to go. Because they basically say nobody knows where the market's going to go. And if you are a registered advisor, you can't say you know, because you don't. Well, there's one conundrum, there's one contradiction there that the regulators don't seem to have a problem with, and they should, in my opinion. Buy and hold for the long term. Okay? Buy and hold for the long term. Buy and hold for the long haul. A lot of advisors say that. But technically, according to what we can't say, that's the market is going to do something, in my opinion, that is false and misleading. Because you can't say that the market would go over the long haul. Nobody can guarantee that. You know, it may be true that since it started, it's been up, up and up. I, myself, think that that is direct result of only inflation, right? The growth of the U.S. economy, but also inflation. You look at the Dow when it started around 113, 113, I think, is where it kind of popped in, became existent. It's now at 27,000. Well, take the price of a candy bar, right? Plotted along there, and you know, certain things have, you know, increased a lot more, cars, you know, and but what have you, but you know, for the regulators to allow people to say buy and hold for the long term, that's technically, in my opinion, a violation of this, of the statute that says we can't tell you what the market's going to do. And if I tell you buy and hold for the long term, that means that I know the market's going to go up over the long term, and we don't know that. In fact, I can probably tell you at some point, whether it be 5 years from now or 1,000 years from now, the Dow will not be here. I think I can comfortably say that, because I think in a certain amount of time, we won't be here, right? I mean, mankind. So I can comfortably say the Dow will probably be non-existent at some point. But I don't think people should be allowed to say buy and hold for the long term, because it always goes up. When you say it always goes up, you know, that's a bit like me saying, well, the XYZ company always goes up. No, you can't say that. So that's my pet peeve. Wrote an article on that, so there you go. Okay, so we are at 27,000, over 27,000, the even number. at 27,229. So now the 27,000 blows. If it closes on Friday, what's today? 19th. So it was... It has not closed. Oh, it did. No. Yeah, it did. Okay. I was going to say it did close a Friday. It did close last week for 27,000. So it's held for a week. See if it holds for a month. So we'll see what happens. If you ever want to see an interesting chart, just scroll up the chart of the Dow over the last 100 years. It's like crazy. So what's driving the market? Nobody knows. You know, nobody knows. The economic stats are fairly good from Bureau of Labor Statistics and other statistic conduits. Stats are good. Unemployment has, you know, been as low as it's been in decades. You know, those are facts that are not disputed as far as nominal numbers are concerned. Now, I will say, you know, though you can also say inflation is low. Well, those are, you know, you realize that the statistics that we look at for inflation and employment and unemployment and all this other stuff, those are statistics that are arrived at by the Bureau of Labor Statistics and the Gov using certain methodologies. But the problem is that they've changed those methodologies over the years. So that's like, you know, taking a measuring stick and saying, well, last year my room was 9 feet long and this year it's 9 feet long, but you changed the length of the measuring stick. You changed the denomination. So we know that the room won't change, but the only way to truly measure something over a long period of time is to use the same measuring stick, right? Well, they've changed methodology. Now, if you go to shadowstats.com, I'm not advocating their figures or the website, and I received no compensation for mentioning them. Although we did interview them on this show years back, 10, 11, 12 years, shadowstats.com. That is purportedly putting out the real stats according to the same measurements like inflation, unemployment. And so those of you who really want to look at something interesting, go to shadowstats.com. And that gentleman over there has been working on that site for a long period of time. So there you go. Okay, and so, the big news, at least in our counties throughout California, now you may be hearing the show in another state besides California. California is suffering from tremendous wildfire issues. We're not on fire yet this year. There are some, but general rule. But last year was devastating. Devastating. The town of Paradise wiped clean by the wrath of God, among other terrible, terrible, terrible fires, a car fire, all these horrible fires. Investing in Community Film Series, part of the film series I do as a compliment to the show, did some videos on it. And our friend Juan Brown also did some great videos on the fire. And so, it was terrible. The ramifications, the result of all that is fire insurance. We've covered that a couple of shows ago. Fire insurance. It's a big problem. Now, there are always currents and cross currents of things that happen, like for fire insurance. Well, what's happened with fire insurance? Well, fire insurance pretty much doubled or tripled in the state, or at least in the county that I am in. Okay, I'm widely connected to the insurance markets. And I know that policies have gone from, $1 to $3 or whatever they are. We're seeing triples. That's fairly normal. And in California, much like people that have had trouble with driving records, you can still get insurance if you have a horrible driving record. It's called assigned risk. You go to a certain conglomeration of companies that are kind of forced by the Department of Insurance to write insurance policies because they want everybody to be insured no matter what their risk. Now you're going to pay more. But they force the insurance companies to establish a group of them. They're saying, okay, you guys all make money from insurance in California, and we're also going to say that part of you are going to make policies for people that are assigned risks that are risky. And the way they determine what companies do it is any company that does business in California as an admitted insurer, somebody who complies to the state of California insurance rules and have applied and been accepted as an admitted insurer to do business in the state, whatever their percentage is of the insurance market in the state is the percentage they have to take of the assigned risk. So if a certain company does 12% of the insurance in California, it's got to take 12% of the assigned risk for bad drivers. Now, they're going to be, you know, the rates are going to be higher. It's all determined by the California Department of Insurance and big meetings that they hold together. But that's how it does. Well, they have a similar type of program called CalFair, California Fair Plan for fire insurance. Now, that's not a government agency, but it is, you know, cobbled together under the direction of the California Department of Insurance, as our methods of insurance are all watched by the Department of Insurance. And so California Fair is the insurer of last resort. Okay, so if you have a policy with XYZ company, a lot of people, about 70% is what I've heard of this county anyway, have been sent cancellation notices with no offer of renewal. I'm not quite sure about the percentage of that, but I think 70% are having insurance canceled. Now, that doesn't mean you can't get a policy, right? Because the Department of Insurance wants to make sure that everybody's insured. So you will get a policy, but what's happening now is that if we cannot write you a policy under the standard insurers, we have to turn to California Fair. They will write you a policy. They will write you a policy for the dwelling only. Where previous your homeowner's insurance and cover the dwelling and the stuff in it. The dwelling is the walls, everything bolted down. Your Formica cabinets, the flooring and the sink and all that. And anything not attached, like your bookcase that not be attached and refrigerator, all that is covered under contents. Contents, okay? So where you had one policy, the homeowner policy would cover both the dwelling and the contents. California Fair will only cover the dwelling. So now you got to get two policies. The combination of the two will likely be 200, 250 to 300% of what you were paying. I have seen on social media, people are claiming that they're paying, oh, I'm only paying a little bit more. No, my insurance company only raised my rates $100 or whatever it is. Or I got a better rate before the fires. And now I have a worse rate, but not as bad. When I see that, that puts my ears up. Because, you know, I kind of know what you should be paying. And if somebody had a policy for $1,500 and they claim they're paying $1,600, I'm like, well, there's something amiss there. You're misunderstanding something. I'm not saying it cannot happen, but something is amiss. Normally, I'm seeing double to 2.5 times. Mine went from 1,800, one policy, to two policies, totaling $4,400. So, now, if they do away with Prop 13, property tax, somebody wipes that clean, the cost of living in California is going to go up by an awful lot, okay? So, my property insurance was $1,800, and my property taxes were about $3,000. So, I had a total outlay of property tax and insurance around $5,000. Now that my insurance has jumped to $4,400, I am paying about $7,500, and if they do away with Prop 13, I'll probably be up at $10,000. Now, what kind of results have happened to other things because these fire insurance policies have gone up, and Prop 13 maybe? Well, we're going to talk about that when we come back to your community radio station entitled The Show Money Matters. Be right back. Stone's my street. I wanna wear exotic animals on my feet. Pretty rocks on my fingers, pretty bells on my toes. Lots of candy off my mouth. Maybe I'll even pierce my nose. Give me just half a chance to lead you in this concrete dance. And I'll be dirty, rotten, filthy, stinking. And warrant. Dirty, rotten, filthy, stinking rich. Not many people can say that anymore. Okay, so we were talking about fire insurance and the ramifications when things happen in the markets. Other things happen, and we've talked to that before. Something happens in the market, it generally causes something else to happen, cause and effect, right? Well, we had something happen in the real estate market. Housing insurance for fire has gone up a lot. Comments from people that I talk to in the business of doing insurance say to me, I don't know if I can afford the new policy. Others, I am canceling my escrow on my new house because I don't want to pay the fire insurance. Or I'm canceling the new escrow on my house and not buying the house I plan to buy because I don't want to live in the fire zone because I saw what happened. I'm paranoid. Also, comments not related to the fire insurance or maybe the last straw. People say I'm moving out of California. Now, they may be moving out of California for a variety of reasons. Most of the reasons that I see on social media or because of taxes. The expense to live here. Some people don't like the political environment of California. I don't see that as a problem because there's both sides of the aisle here like anywhere else. Now, are there more people that lean one way or the other in California? Well, sure. There's no perfect state that's perfectly balanced, so I really don't care, you know, what the political environment is. I think that people should have political views and they should be different. If everybody's thinking the same thing, nobody's thinking. I'm not quite sure I agree with all this arguing back and forth and this hate going back and forth. I've had people say, you support this party and I'm never going to be a friend of yours again. I've had people say, I've defriended even I don't even talk to my brother anymore. Well, to me, that's a little too far. Both sides have said that. The right said about the left, I'm abandoning my left friend. And the left has said, I'm abandoning my friend who leans to the right. Come on. Let's grow up a little bit, you know. Your family's going to be there a lot longer than whoever is running the place, and your family's going to be there a lot longer than whoever may be running the place. So, you know, we just all get along. Rodney King, right? So, in any case, some people have said that fire insurance has pushed them over the edge. So, in the process of talking to a lot of people that do money, because I'm a money guy, and I talk to a lot of people, because I do financials, and I do insurance, and I do an investing community video series. I do a radio show. I write for newspapers. Coach baseball, or you know, whatever I do. I have a little brother in the Big Brothers program. So you know, I do stuff for the food bank. I'm kind of connected in the community, so I see a lot of people, and I know a lot of realtors. And I'm asking the realtors. A friend of mine has ran into outside of Jamba Juice, by the name of Craig. And I said, what's going on in the real estate market? And I also run a couple of pages on social media. One of them called Fire Insurance Information and Inquiries. We'll talk about social media in a little bit because I'm going to need some help on that one. And I see what people say. And I've asked for input on that particular page from realtors. What's happening to the market? From what I'm hearing from a number of them is that the market, which was in a shortage of housing, that shortage is now being eliminated, some have said, to an excess. And other realtors, most realtors have said, well, people are still going to buy here, but the prices may have to come down a little bit to reflect the increase of fire insurance. So what we had was a fire in all the other places in California except here, and it has affected the entire market of the state. Indeed, maybe more states that are in high fire-prone areas. I don't know that for a fact, but and now it has affected the home market because what we saw is an increase in fire insurance is very small, is very large. And so now the home market is being affected. So, everything will sell for a price. But I think, so what some of the realtors are telling me, that the supply is increasing and the prices are maybe stalling or starting to drop or will stall or may start to drop, whatever the case may be, is a true statement. Because what was fire insurance policies costing people $1,500 to $2,500 now going to be costing $3,000 to $5,000. And if Prop 13 gets repealed, Don't know where that stands. I think it's a long way from happening, but, you know, I've seen some new stuff float by. If that happens, then I think you're going to see more. So it's interesting. Where are they moving? Well, my sister, who used to live in Inverness, moved to New Hampshire.
What?
I don't know. I don't talk to her much. You can pick your family. You can pick your friends. You can't pick your family. Not to say I don't get along with my sister. I don't get along with my sister. I get along with her. We just don't talk. She called me one day and said she moved to New Hampshire. It's like, what? I didn't even know you were moving. She still calls and says hi and everything, but it's kind of the relationship we have. Hi, I moved to Guam. Really? When? Last year. Thanks for telling me. She moved to New Hampshire. Now, a good friend of mine moved to Idaho. Idaho. A couple of my friends moved to Florida. Got a friend of mine now looking to Tennessee. A couple of people I know that were burned out of paradise moved to Reno. I think many fires in Reno. Pretty flat out there. So, yeah, you know. The reason? I don't know. I'm sure fire insurance is the reason to either you were burned clean by the wrath of God or whatever greater entity you believe in or no entity at all. Or you just don't want to take it anymore. Some people are just scared. I'm scared. I don't want my house burned to the ground. You know what? I can see it, man. You know, I look around and the fire guy comes out and he says, clear this, and whack down the vinca, the ground cover under the propane tank. And clear the half a cup of pine needles off your shed. Dude, you know, I called my neighbor and I said, hey, blank, come over and cut some trees down. Fire people said that it's danger. And he came over and he yelled at me and then we kind of got along. We kind of made peace. And he said, seriously, look around. We walked through the woods. Again, I said, you know, I think your point is well taken. If a fire comes through here, it doesn't matter what you have, you know, short of a metal dome over your house. You know, those fires that we've seen move so fast and so hot, you can kiss it goodbye. They were burning fireproof safes. I mean, you know, burning clean. So he's right. I mean, we can all kind of, you know, cut around our houses. And I advocate for that because, you know, what he did say is it does give the firemen a little more time, buffer to protect your house versus if the trees are right up against it, right? I believe in that, you know, because he was saying, you know, in some certain cases, they parked a fire truck at each house. Thank God for that. So you got to get some clearance. So if it does come roaring through there, they got a place to sit with a hose. You know what I mean? So the market for real estate is softening. I guess I can comfortably say that. So anyway, so the markets, yeah, I think it's important that we look at this market, you know, how high can it go? When the current president was elected, the market was sitting at 17,000 and something in the Dow. It is now at 27,000, okay? Don't have a calculator, but whatever that increase is, you know. Half of 17 is four, is what, 8? So, you know, it's gone up, what, 50% or whatever? Now, people would call and say, well, my portfolio hasn't gone up 50%. Well, that's because you're not geared to the market 100%. Anybody that's geared to the market 100%, you know, which I think is risky, in my opinion, you know, it's no wonder you don't keep up with the Dow. Because if you did, when the Dow fell, you'd fall right along with it. So, prudent money management, or in my opinion, or in what they call modern portfolio theory, you should be balanced with equities, fixed income, and other things. I believe the balance of safety in the equity and the risk management should be less than what most people have. That's my opinion. I think most portfolios are too risky that I've seen. But that is my opinion, of course, I have to say that. And may not be the opinion of the station staff, management, or underwriters, or of my firm. Okay, I have to say that. And we have the disclaimer at the front and disclaimer at the back, so they're all happy. So we'll see what happens, you know. What has been moving in the market? Well, you know, a lot of things have been moving. Some things have been moving faster than others, as always. You know, we saw a little bit of a rally in the digital coin market, and then it came down and it came back up, and then it came down and then it went back up. So it's pretty volatile. They're precious metals. Been flat for a long time. They look to have come up some. So whether we'll see whether that is in a new rally mode or not. Some analysts are saying it is. Some analysts are saying it isn't. What else is new? I could show you five articles that tell you the Dow is going to 30,000. I could show you another five that tell you the Dow is going to 20. And I could show you five more that say the Dow is going to 10. And another five saying the Dow is going to go away. So everybody has an opinion like everybody has. Oh, okay. So there you go. Okay. So a while ago, I did a... an article in a very popular show on the economics of social media. Now, remember, I cover in this show economics of your garden and your body and your mind and not just money. And some people have said, don't always talk about the stock market. A lot of people don't own stocks. Okay. Well, I'm going to talk about social media because I have an issue with that right now. And it's not an issue as far as hating it, which I kind of do. I need help. So I'm going to put it out in the airways. First of all, the article in the radio program on social media was a breakdown of how much time people are spending, both in the workplace and personal time, on social media. And the figures that I illustrated in the show and in the articles were amazing. They were very, very high. So apparently people are burning a lot of time in the vortex of social media, whether it be Instagram or some of the other ones, WhatsApp or TeamStream or Facebook or whatever it is that you spend time on, you know. I have found, in my particular opinion, that Instagram is more for the young. I'm not saying it is, but I'm saying, yeah, it is. I know a lot of movie actors use that are fairly old. Facebook leans in more toward the older crowd, but, you know, the juggernaut that is Facebook keeps, you know, banging along. I saw they fined him $5 billion for security problems. A fine of $5 billion. Whoa. To Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook. So there was a lot of time burning. Now, I have also advertised on Facebook, and I have a lot of people that have advertised on Facebook. And in my opinion, in my opinion, advertising on Facebook, unless it's something extremely high demand, has been very, very poor for me. You know, I have a pretty big presence. You know, I write in a lot of newspapers and on show, and the show's carried on about 66 stations, and I get a news and blah, 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 blah. And I've tried advertising things on Facebook with very little return. I don't know. I'm not saying paid ads, but just advertising. So I have a variety of pages on Facebook. I don't do Instagram. I think I have an account there, and people throw stuff up there, but I don't follow it. I don't even know how to get on it, really. Then there's Mix and Tumblr, and, you know, I can't keep up with it. But I have been caught into the vortex that is Facebook. You know, I have a timer on mine. It tells me when I've been there on an hour, and it'll go off, you know. And some people I know are just living there. You know, I post a lot, but there are social media consultants that tell you how to maximize your advertising on social media. Now, advertising is economics, right? It's putting something in and getting something back out. That's investing in advertising. Now, social media is, for the most part, free. Now, you can pay to boost ads, and you can pay for paid ads, but most people just use it for free. Hi, I have a seminar coming up, or hi, I'm doing a yoga class, and they post it. Okay, so I have five different pages. Okay, I have my main page under my name, Mark Cuniberti. Okay? And that particular page is subscribed to about 85 groups, okay? It has about 49,000 and something friends. I think I'm reaching the max. And, you know, so when I post something, it goes kind of everywhere. And then if I share it, it goes really everywhere. And then I have another page called, Daily Jokes and Inspirational Quotes. And then I have Fire Insurance Information and Inquiries. And then I have the Money Matters page, and then I have Money Matters Investing Community Video Series, okay? And the other pages are kind of small, where my page is pretty big. And, of course, I have a lot of people have different pages and administer. I also I'm an administrator for Nevada City Peeps, which is, I don't know, 6,000 people that are on here. So what's happened, the way Facebook works as far as advertising, you know, when you share to a group, if you have a post that you make, there's a little button under that says share. If you push on the share button, and up pop your groups. Now, it used to be, at least the way I saw it, is that when you wanted to share, you push share and it says share to a group, and you share to a group, and you'd have to type in the name of the group or begin to type it in, and it would locate whatever group you belong to. So if you piped in Peeps, it would put up Nevada County Peeps and Grass Valley Peeps and Sacramento Peeps or whatever the heck it is. And then you would push on that. Well, they made it easier. Now, basically, if I type in share to a group, all the groups appear underneath with just simple go buttons, share. So you could push 100, all the way down, of which I did in half. And one day I got a message, you're blocked for a day for not following community standards. Well, I was posting stuff for nonprofits. I didn't think that was not following community standards. I have posted things that were straight ads, but most of the stuff I share massively are events. But Facebook doesn't care about that. They just have a robot that says, you shared too many times. Now, they won't tell you what the formula is. They won't tell you if you shared too many in an hour or too many in a day or too many a month. But it blocked me for a day. So I was careful. Well, apparently not careful enough. They blocked me for a day, and then they blocked me for a day. And then, you know, about a year later, I got blocked for 3 days. And the next time, a couple of times, they blocked me. And I was careful, man. I was careful. I wasn't pushing a lot of buttons. Then they blocked me for a week. So I've had a week blocks for a couple of times now. Now, I have the akin to the blue screen of death. And I really need some Facebook experts out there to help me. And it's not funny. You know, my main page, the Mark Gunnberdy page, I tried to log on the way in yesterday. And it said, verify your identity. Now, I've seen that before. And you push, okay, and it says, well, shall we text you a number? Or do you want to do another method? I said, nah, text me the number because I've had that before. And they plug it, they text you a number and you plug it in, you're on. Well, I pushed text the number and it didn't text. I didn't receive anything. And I checked the number and it was right. So it came around again. You want to text the numbers? Yeah, okay. Text the number. Didn't come through. So it said, verify in another method. I said, okay, what are those? Well, verify 4 of the following 9 statements that you made in the last 3 months. So they punched a bunch of statements, and some of them looked like mine, so I punched on them. I thought I got 4 right. Well, it came back and said, error. Page not available at this time. And I went, oh, no, here we go. So I waited about 10 minutes, and it went back, and it came back. Verify by text. So I did that. Didn't get the text. Then it came back and it said, verify by statement. I said, oh, I don't know about that. I messed it up last time, or either that or it thought I did. So then it said, verify by photos of friends. And I said, ah, okay. So I pushed that. Well, I got 4,900 and something friends. Well, I don't know the names of all of them. So it punched up a bunch of people that I didn't know but were friends. And I went, oh, no. So I did my best guess, and of course it said, no, I didn't get it right. So then I pushed back, and it went back again, and I did it again. I did it wrong, and then it said, error, security. So I said, oh, no. So then I waited a couple hours, and it came back. So I was stuck. So I finally found one through Messenger, which is the communication. It said, can we send you an email with a code on there? I said, yeah, that sounds good. So they sent me an email. I plugged the code in. Didn't work. And then it went in a loop. And then it did it again. Now, when I went in through Messenger and asked for text me a number to my cell number, it did text me a code to that. So I did get a text when I went in through my Messenger, but not through my main page. To make a long story a little bit shorter, basically, now I'm locked out. I can't get in. For the longest time, well, yesterday and all today, I got a message that said, continue, you know, when you want to verify, and it says, error. Page not working, try again later. So I have put the lines out saying, okay, help. What do I do? A lot of people don't know. Most people don't know. I did finally find a page that kind of came up, and it said, upload a photo ID. I said, oh, man, okay. So I uploaded a photo ID and said, well, send you an email. That's it. Well, now I find my main page is only available to friends. So if you Google me up on Facebook or plug my name in under Mark Gunnberdy, it won't find me. If you're a friend, it will, but but it won't find me if you're not. So now I'm getting emails who people who knew my emails to contact me through the station, and I can't find you on Facebook. You're right, you can't, unless you're a friend. Now, I have another page. My wife has a Facebook membership, and I can find my page because she's a friend. Thank God my page is still there, but I can't get into it. I sent the photo, and I've been hearing on the web, if you send a photo, because none of the other stuff works, at least it didn't for me. I couldn't get the tags, and the email code wasn't right. I don't know what Facebook's doing. Nobody you can call. You can't call anybody. You know, I can call AT&T, and I can call big companies like Goldman Sachs or whoever, but I can't call Facebook. And you can't call. And the pages that try to help you, very confusing. So I sent the photo ID. I'm still locked out. Problem is all the pages I administer, I'm also locked out of. So I can't administer any page. And if you go to the page using another account, it says no admin. So I have no idea how long this is going to take. But there are threads going up saying, well, Mark's blocked me. No, I haven't blocked you. If you were a friend, you're still a friend and can find me, but I can't get to my own page. I cannot. I can only see it from somebody else's Facebook, and I can't administer any page. So if you're on Nevada City Peeps, I asked a friend of mine. He's going to administer that for a while, and I set up a second page under Mark Cunaberti 2, T-W-O. That page is active, but there's only got three friends because the other 4,900 friends are on the other page. I can admin Nevada City Peeps now. I can do that. I can't admin any other page. So if you're trying to become a member of Fire Insurance Inquiries and Information, I can't add you. I can't add anybody Money Matters. I can't add anybody Money Matter Investing Community. So I'm stuck. So I had a Facebook consultant that I emailed, and she never responded. So if any one of you out there, what I'm reading in some of the threads is that if you have to send in a photo ID, it's over a month before somebody will actually look at it and verify it. But my text doesn't work. So I don't know what the heck to do. I really don't. So if anybody out there knows and has gone through this, don't tell me to go to the pages because I've been through all that. You know, if anybody knows, please, please, please contact me, okay? You can contact me variety of ways. So just contact me. My email here, I believe, is bayareaprocess@att.net, BayareaProcess, bayareaprocess@att.net. But just Google my name and you'll find, you know, there's Mark at moneymanagementradio.com, news at moneymanagementradio.com. Moneymanagementradio.com is my website that's free. There's no charge on any of this, okay? There's no charge on any of that because it's just our way, the community radio stations that carry the show of saying thank you. So if anybody out there is a Facebook expert, please contact me. I've got a lot of people hanging and a lot of pages hanging, and I can't get in. I may have to wait the month, and I think people are going to think I'm terrible. But that's what's happened, so I need a little help. So no, I haven't blocked you. Now, if you have questions about the show, please contact the program director at or whatever radio station you're hearing the show on. This show emanates at the premium community radio station, KVMR FM, in Nevada City, California. Widely known as one of the premier community radio stations. 24 hours a day, man, the emergency broadcast system, 168-something broadcasters, brand new studio building right here on Broad Street in Nevada City. You can become a member. And if you're listening to this on another community station, you can become a member of usually any community radio station, and they would welcome your support. Okay, welcome. Remember, the views expressed on this show are those of the speaker, myself, and are not necessarily reflected of this station or board staff, volunteers, or underwriters. And remember, discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Right? No. You have to consult a professional investment professional before making important investment decisions, obviously. I am an investment advisor representative through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, who is a registered investment advisor. Indices mentioned, like the Dow, or whatever else I mentioned, are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Investing involves risk. Depending on the types of investments, there may be varying degrees of risk. Investors should be prepared to bear loss, including total loss of principal. Okay, so that's the story on today. You know, we covered what? We covered fire insurance. We covered the markets. The market, the Dow, right now, let's take a look. And the Dow is still at an all-time, close to an all-time high. It is down 26 points at 27,193. Those following such things, we're going to be looking at 27,000 as a major support level. Dow hasn't moved much today. The S&P is sitting at 29,91. Now, people say, what's the difference between the S&P, the NASDAQ, and the Russell 2000? Just different markets, like a supermarket. You know, you can buy a radish at Raley's, and you can buy a radish at Safeway. So these are just markets. Each market covers individual equities. So if you're going to buy a particular company, like a popular software company that makes phones, it's only available through a particular market. You either got to go to the NASDAQ, the Russell, the Dow, the S&P, or some other ones. If you're going to buy foreign stocks, you know, even Canadian stocks, you got to go up to the Vancouver exchanges and things of that sort. So there's all sorts of different markets. The Dow is the most widely watched one, of course. And so, yeah, the website's moneymanagementradio.com. You can contact me through there. Our way of saying thank you is for free, non-profit. There's no money. I don't get any money out of it. I just pay. So it's coming out of my pocket to maintain that website, okay? And you have been listening to show 290. It's hot in the markets. Yes, it is. And so next show is coming up August. Every first and second Thursday at noon Pacific Standard Time is when you can hear the show. And next show we'll cover maybe some bonds and see what's happening in the market, see if this rally can be sustained. And we'll take an eye on it, okay? Okay, my name is Mark Gunnabrody, watching the markets so you don't have to. If you have any questions, feel free to contact me through the program director at the community radio station here or the website moneymanagementradio.com. Have a great day. God bless, and go make some money.
Hey, I'm not complaining, 'cause